voice to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. I had the very good fortune of association with Srila Prabhupada in India. Beginning in 1975, first time I met Srila Prabhupada. And in the last 3 years that Prabhupada was on the planet, he was a lot of the time in Vrindavan. And since I was in Vrindavan, I got to get his association quite a lot by good fortune. And especially to pick up the Vrindavan mood. There are so many different incarnations of the Supreme Lord and different destinations higher than this one, like heavenly planets, where there are so many pious demigods, and what to speak of Vaikuntha planets, and even all of the avatars, like Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, Vamanadev, and so on. They all have their own Vaikuntha planets also. And of course, there's Mahesh Dham before the Vaikuntha. There is Mahesh Dham, Lord Shiva. And then there is Dwarka, Mathura. But at the very top is Gokula, Goloka Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna. So this movement, we are specifically distributing the mood of loving Krishna in the Vrindavan mood. This Vrindavan mood. This is a particular essence of the movement of Lord Chaitanya. And this Vrindavan mood is not very official. It is unofficial. Krishna in unofficial mode. In every other incarnation, Krishna is like going to the office, you know. It's a kind of official. There's some fear, there's some awe and reverence between the devotee and God. But in the Vrindavan pastimes is intimate pastimes between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And this Vrindavan mood is, what attracted me to Krishna consciousness. Actually, I don't find Vaikuntha so attractive. Big palaces and temples. And Prabhupada said we're making these big temples to attract the ordinary public. Ordinary people are very attracted by Aishwarya, wealth. But in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, when Indra sent the rain clouds, because Krishna had ordered the residents of Vrindavan to stop the sacrifice. So Indra sent a big devastating rain. And of course Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and saved the residents of Vrindavan. But after that, all of the demigods, they came to worship Krishna along with Indra. It's mentioned even Brahma, Shiva came, Parvati. What to speak of demigods also, Charanas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, Kimpurushas, there's all these different kinds of demigods and lesser demigods. They all came to worship Krishna at that time, after the lifting of Govardhan Hill. But I was reading yesterday, this didn't put Krishna in a very good mood, because it was disturbing his friendly pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan. So he said Krishna wasn't smiling when all these great and powerful demigods in their celestial chariots with all their opulences and wealth and all these pious denizens of heaven came to worship Krishna. Krishna wasn't smiling. He was a bit grave. And he was thinking it's a bit of a disturbance. I wish they'd go away and I can get on playing with my friends. So for Krishna, actually, he was... He was like looking at the clock. When are they going? Even of course they're great devotees, but they don't give Krishna so much pleasure as his friends in Vrindavan, as his intimate friends in Vrindavan. That's why it says actually Vrindavanam prityajapadam ekam nagachati. Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. When the different pastimes outside of Vrindavan is manifested by not original Krishna. This is beginning to be expanded forms of Krishna. Krishna in different features. Not the original. The original Krishna doesn't go out of Vrindavan. He really likes the... And if you look at the residents of Vrindavan, they're not big, powerful demigods. They're not even rishis. They're not big professors and scholars. They're not studied in all the Vedas. Of course, they know the Vedic conclusions. The residents of Vrindavan are very knowledgeable in Vedic conclusions. But they're not big rishi, maharishis or professors. And neither are they great sadhus, mahatmas, in the sense of, you know, like rishis and maharishis and gurus and yogis. They're just ordinary village people. They're ordinary village people. But what is the quality that they have? They're very artistic. For instance, the gopis, they're expert in 64 different art forms. 64 different art forms. They're totally perfected in every one of those art forms, such as flower arrangements, making music, decorating, making resident places to sit out of flowers, and so many different art forms. You can read about them. They're expert. In fact, everybody in Vrindavan, they're an artist. One thing you can find when you travel around the world, when the culture is more advanced, the people become very artistic. It's like I've traveled a lot, but if you go to the places where there's some Vedic culture, you find the people are artistic. Especially if you go to places like Bali, which is Hindu, or Thailand, which used to be a part of India, and India itself. You find all that the arts and crafts are very highly developed. The architecture, the wood carvings, the paintings, the way that they build the building. Everything is done in an artistic way. It used to be, everything was done in an artistic and beautiful way. In fact, this is how you have to live life. If you want to please Krishna, you have to become an artist. Rather than becoming a great rishi or a great... And when I say become an artist, this means you put beauty into everything you do. Everything you do it as an offering for Krishna. You do it in the most beautiful way that you can do it. This is why it's said that in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, every step is a dance. Every word is a song. And the residents of Vrindavan walking, it's very beautiful to see them walking. Even just how they walk, it's not an ordinary walk. Because everything they do is artistic. Everything that they do, just like we say that devotional service begins with Shantaras. Shantaras means that you appreciate Krishna and you appreciate the devotees. You're thinking, oh, this is very good. Shantaras means appreciation. So the beginning stage of love of Godhead is appreciation. Just like if you think, this is a wonderful creation. Just see how the sun is rising in the morning. Just see how beautiful this creation. Flowers, trees, how so many wonderful living entities. Just see how beautiful is God, how wonderful is God. If you have this kind of appreciation, this is called Shantaras. You may not yet be a devotee, but you feel, oh, this is a wonderful, good thing. So this is the beginning of devotion. Now, the beginning of being an artistic person is to have appreciation. If when you walk, with every step, you have appreciation for the land that you're walking on, for the environment, for the people around you. So you have to be conscious. This is called Krishna consciousness. It means to become conscious. The other day, I went into a cafe to get a cup of milk, and there was four or five guys serving. They were all talking to each other and playing. They didn't even notice when you tried to call them or when you tried to get the bill or if you wanted something. No, you couldn't get their attention. This is materialistic life. They've got an insignificant job and they can't even do that properly. They can't even do this simple job properly. This because that's why they're in this low condition of life. It's like in this world, I hear these stories in India, everyone's trying to get good education, good job, go to management consultancies and different kinds of seminars about how to get a good job. I'll tell you how to get a good job. Be an artist. Be an artist. Make whatever you do beautiful. Whatever you do, do it beautifully. If you are a servant in a cafe, you do it beautifully. You do it perfectly. You be the best. And then one day the manager will look and he will see, oh, this person is doing very beautifully. Promote to manager. And then somebody upstairs will notice. Whatever you do in life, you do it beautifully. You decorate the environment. You try to please and serve everybody because Krishna is in the heart of everybody. So you don't have to try to get all these qualifications, actually. You just have to do everything consciously and beautifully. And then the higher authorities, they will notice. And you'll be elevated in life. You'll be brought up in life. You won't ever have to be looking up. Ever since before I was a devotee, I was a musician. I never in my whole life had to look for a job. Of course, I joined the Hare Krishna movement. But when I say somebody upstairs will notice, who is most upstairs? Krishna. If Krishna sees that you are a very nice devotee and you are doing everything beautifully, Krishna will want your association. Krishna doesn't very much want the association of big official demigods and advanced wealthy people and so on and so forth. Krishna likes the association of artists. Every step they do with appreciation. And then dasa, with every step is done not for their personal motive. When the devotee advances, he becomes a servant. That means with every step he's taken not for his own personal sense gratification, but he's doing it in service. So this is very important. Another important thing. We should do everything in appreciation and we should do everything in service. Especially now. We're not living in ordinary times. Just like if you're in the building and the alarm bell is ringing, there's a fire. It's not ordinary time. You don't just do the normal activities in your apartment if the fire bell is ringing. Everybody awake. You have to go into every room. Wake up. Come on, get out. The children are sleeping. You have to wake them up. You have to run. You have to get moving. The situation on the earth right now is very emergency situation. Everything is disturbed. The climate is disturbed. The environment is disturbed. Probably within scientists are saying within the next 100 years, the environment will be so much ruined that it'll be very difficult to maintain life. Now there is drought is going on all over the world in so many places. Excessive rainfall. The ice caps are melting. The ozone layer is being destroyed. In so many ways, human activity has become unbearable for the earth. Human activity has become artistic. Everybody's motivated by money and wanting to have wealth. Nobody's motivated by beauty and trying to improve the environment, at least not the leaders. And therefore, they've created an unbearably hellish environment. Just like you take a place like Bombay. Bombay used to probably be the most heavenly place in India. That's why it's such a big city. Because it's got the perfect climate. It doesn't get too hot, like parts of India. And it never gets too cold. And it's by the beautiful ocean. Used to be the most heavenly place in India. If you've traveled India a lot, like I have, and you took India in its natural state, you'd have to say Bombay was probably about the nicest place you could live. But look what they've done to it. They've turned it into a hell. They've turned it into a horrible hell of pollution and anxiety and turmoil. This is what these human beings have done, huh? Amazing how they've turned this into a hell. Everywhere used, even everywhere used to be better than now. If you think back to when I was a child, England was a very beautiful country. Now it's a total hell. It's been invaded by so many immigrants, and the cities have been built without any aesthetic beauty. They just randomly built cities with no sense of beauty, no sense of improving the environment, no sense of appreciation. Everything is done without appreciation and without a sense of aesthetic beauty. This is the consciousness of people who cannot go to Vrindavan, people who cannot live in Vrindavan. If you want to live in Vrindavan, don't try to be a great, great sadhu. Try to be an artist. Try to do whatever you do beautifully. Whatever you do, whatever words you speak, try to speak beautifully. Try to speak politely. Try to speak with high language. This is what Krishna should be pleasing. Don't say things that offend. Like in England, nowadays, people cannot make one sentence without so many swear words. They cannot hardly speak without a swear word. Every two or three words is another swearing, effing this, effing that. Da, da, da. This is how people speak. But in Vrindavan, everybody walks with appreciation. They walk in service. And then, beyond that, they walk in friendship with Krishna, Vatsalya Ras. What is this friendship? Friendship is when our intention becomes harmonious with the intention of the Supreme Lord. When we become harmonious with the Supreme Lord, that's Vatsalya Ras. Now, this is what's missing in the demigods. Although they're great devotees, they're not on the platform of Vatsalya. They're devotees, they're servants of Krishna also. They have appreciation, they have dasa. But they don't have Vatsalya. Why? Because they're not completely in harmony with Krishna. Actually, Krishna wants to have pleasant pastimes of love. Krishna, why is this? Because the most important thing, love. Just like in the 60s, there was a great group in England called the Beatles. And they helped Srila Prabhupada establish this movement, George Harrison. But they had a song, which was their biggest ever song. It's called All You Need Is Love. It was a very true statement. If you have love, if love is in everything you do, you'll be very successful in life. You will never be looking for a job. You'll never be wondering what to do next. So this is the symptom in Vrindavan. Krishna is appreciating pastimes of love. This is what Krishna finds pleasing. This is what's there in the residence of Vrindavan. So we have a beyond Vatsalya, which is when we're in harmony with the Lord, when we're in perfect harmony, friendship. Then comes the parental. Sakya is friendship and Vatsalya is parental mood. So the parental mood, then there's a desire to protect the Lord. Then there's a desire to care for the Lord, to protect the Lord. So this we find in Nanda and Yashoda. So Krishna, you know, Krishna never makes himself the king. That's another thing you notice with Krishna. Krishna's not the king of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj is king. And when Krishna lives in Dwarka, the king is, what's his name? Ugrasena. Krishna could make himself king of Vrindavan, but Krishna doesn't want to be the king. This is the nature of Krishna. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna, he took the most humble position of driving the chariot. Instead of being a big, big kshatriya all dressed in the fighting and displaying his powers, Krishna took a humble position of simply being a driver. And many, many people criticize Krishna like that. Even when Krishna was present, Krishna was always being criticized because by non-devotees who couldn't understand that everything that he did was done out of love. So if you don't have the love and to appreciate that, then you can't. Then you misunderstand Krishna. You misunderstand Krishna in every way. Even though he's so obviously the supreme. And the highest rasa, of course, is Madhurya. The gopis, they are the only ones who really thoroughly satisfy Krishna. And of course, there's many, many devotees in this Madhurya Rasa in Vrindavan. They said when Krishna danced the Rasa Leela, that Rasa Leela went on for a night of Brahma. It went on for so many thousands and thousands of years. And there's so many countless millions and millions of gopis. And even though Krishna is only really satisfied by Radha, when the other gopis, they assist in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they all experience the same bliss as Radharani. Even though they're assisting in the pastimes of Krishna, they all are experiencing the same bliss as Sri Radha. So these are the intimate pastimes of Vrindavan. We are aspiring to enter into. So we also have to become like the residents of Vrindavan. Whatever we do, we should do it beautifully. We should become an artist, expert in all the different art forms. This is very good for... This body should be learning. They shouldn't be learning computer sciences and how to be a big industrialist. They should be learning all the art forms so that they can decorate the temple nicely, so that they can make beautiful music to please Krishna. These are the things that are actually valuable. These are the things that the world is needing. The world doesn't need more factories. The world doesn't need more machines. These things are out of balance with nature. So when Prabhupada was preaching in Vrindavan, Prabhupada used to preach very simply. He would talk about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda. These are the topics that Prabhupada would preach about. Complicated. Simple. Because this is the consciousness that's required to be able to associate with the Supreme Lord. If we are simply humble, this is like Lord Chaitanya said, this is the number one qualification. Simply to be humble devotee and try to do everything beautifully, whatever condition of life you find yourself in, it doesn't matter what condition of life you find yourself in, it may be the most pleasing to Krishna. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was leading the Sankirtan party at the time of the Chandkazi's house. Lord Chaitanya, when he led the first big Sankirtan, Naga Sankirtan, it was because the Kirtan had been banned by the Chandkazi. So he led a huge Kirtan to go to the house of the Chandkazi. He was the administration location at the time, Mohammedan. So it is said that in that Kirtan, all the demigods also came to join that Kirtan. Because the residents of Navadvip at the time, they were wondering, where are all these people coming from? Because there were so many more people who they had never seen. Beautifully decorated, wonderful, attractive personalities were present in that Kirtan. And actually it was the demigods. And lesser demigods also, they all came to join that Kirtan. So as the Kirtan was going along, suddenly Lord Chaitanya stopped the Kirtan. And he went off the road and left everybody waiting. And he went down through some villages and some huts. And there was a very dirty, small hut just by the Ganges. And one devotee was there. His name was Kalavicha Shredaras. And this devotee was very poor. He just used to sell banana skins. And with the money that he got, he used half of that to worship the Ganges. He was poor. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left all the demigods and all the devotees waiting in the road just so that he could go and see this pure devotee, who's a very humble person, just an ordinary man, but a great devotee. So how the Lord is conquered by this pure love. The Lord is conquered by the pure love. You won't conquer the Lord by any kind of material attainment of power or wealth or fame or beauty or knowledge. You won't conquer the Lord by any of these things. The Lord is only conquered by love. So this love comes about when there's a very humble mood. As soon as there's pride, as soon as there's some kind of, then it becomes unpalatable to Krishna. And as soon as a devotee becomes immediately smashed by Krishna. Just like Indra, he was exhibiting some pride And so Krishna had to bring him down to earth. Krishna had to do the same with Lord Brahma even, when he stole the cowherd boys. So when a devotee, when he exhibits, even when the gopis got a little bit of pride, oh, finally we've got Krishna, suddenly he disappeared. Suddenly appeared. So then the gopis, they were looking, where is Krishna gone? They were in desperation. Suddenly they found Krishna disguised himself as Vishnu, four-armed fawn. So when the gopis found Vishnu, they weren't very happy. They were saying, oh, Lord Vishnu, very nice to see you, but did you see where Krishna went? They didn't, oh, we found Vishnu, let's stay forever with Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Oh, but do you know where it's gone, Krishna, please? They were running away to find, they didn't, in the consciousness that Krishna's God, you see. Krishna, that disturbs the pastimes. So Krishna doesn't present himself. Sometimes the residents of Vrindavan, they realize that Krishna is God. But then again, they forget by yoga maya. See, that everybody's in maya. But you can be in yoga maya or you can be in maha maya. Everybody's under the control of Krishna's energy. Yeah? But the residents of Vrindavan, just like when Krishna stole, Krishna had Nanda Maharaj, he was bathing to break Ekadashi on the Dvadashi morning. And he was bathing in the Jamuna and he was bathing too early. So he was captured by Varuna. Actually, this was just a pastime so that Varuna could meet Krishna. So Varuna, he took Nanda Maharaj to his kingdom. And Krishna came there to save his father. But actually, Varuna said Krishna would come, and he did this just to get Krishna's association. He was offering his prayers and worship to Krishna. And along with him, so many other demigods were also worshipping Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj saw this and he was astonished. And he was thinking, well, my son must be somebody very special. Maybe he is the Supreme Lord. Look, I was worshipping my son. And Nanda Maharaj was a bit bewildered. But as soon as he came back, he forgot that. Again, he immediately forgot that and just started treating Krishna like his ordinary son. But just like Mother Yashoda, she's looking in the mouth of Krishna. And suddenly she sees all the universe and all the planets and all the incarnations. And she becomes temporarily bewildered and stunned to realize, you know, Krishna's real opulence. But temporarily, she forgets that. This is the consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan. This is why they're very pleasing to Krishna. Just like Madhu Mangal. His best friend in Vrindavan is called Madhu Mangal. He's got another name. His name is Batu. But he's a great joker. And Krishna doesn't like going anywhere without him. It's just like if you've got a friend who's a good joker, you know, they can make... You want to take them with you everywhere. Because they make every situation funny. So Krishna, he's always going along with his friend Madhu Mangal. Because Madhu Mangal is very expert at joking. And so this is the type of devotees that please Krishna the most. They're not very official. Sometimes Madhu Mangal's making fun of Krishna also, and Krishna's enjoying that. When they play together, one time they were playing on Balaram's side and against Krishna's side. Krishna's side lost. They had to carry cowboys on their back. So Krishna, he lost. So Krishna likes to lose to a devotee. This is the nature of the Supreme Lord. So, this mood we picked up from Prabhupada. Just like, you know, Prabhupada, sometimes he could be very fierce. You know, as a spiritual master, he could chastise the devotee. But other times, what I most remember about Prabhupada, being with Prabhupada, was how humble Prabhupada was. That was what most astonished me. He's a great devotee. He's made such a huge movement. He has so many disciples. He's so powerful. And yet he was talking to me in a very humble way. That you almost astonishingly humble. And this I found a lot with big, big people, you know. I've met a lot of big people in my life, like Srila Prabhupada. I also met all the Beatles. They're the most successful musicians ever. But when you meet them, they're very humble. Very humble people. They're not the person who helped Prabhupada by donating Bhaktivedanta Manor and recording the first Hare Krishna record. A very humble person. This oftentimes when you meet big people, why did they become big? They became big because they were humble. And they did everything consciously, beautifully. So don't try to get all of these materialistic qualifications. Just try to do everything consciously. Try to become like the residents of Vrindavan. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song. Beautify your environment for Krishna. This is what Prabhupada really wanted. Prabhupada really wanted us to make ashrams where we could show what is really Vrindavan life. The Vrindavan life of protecting cows and living simply in the country with all these art forms, very artistic life, very opulent, but natural opulence. This is what the meaning of Krishna consciousness is. It's difficult to show it in the city. It's difficult to appreciate it in the city. Therefore, Prabhupada, we make ashrams in the country. And Prabhupada made many himself, like New Vrindavan and New Govardhan in Australia, all over the world, actually. So when you live in this kind of a natural environment, you find that everything is already being created by the Lord. What a mess we've made of it. This beautiful creation, humanity, we've made a huge mess of everything. Actually, humanity has become like a big criminal gang, actually. Humanity nowadays is like a big criminal gang conspiring together to completely destroy the environment. Every time in a car, you're destroying the environment. Every time you turn on an air conditioner, you're destroying the environment. This whole modern way of life is out of balance with nature. That's why I say there's an emergency bell ringing. We're not living in an ordinary time. You know, in the time of the Mahabharata war, the earth planet was threatened. That's why Krishna came. Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam. Krishna came to destroy things. Dharma samstapanataya, to reestablish real religious principles, the real way of life. So, at the time of Mahabharata, they said the world was threatened by these demons. But what about now? What are they doing now? How much is the world threatened now? Much more. What's worse? Worse than at the time of Mahabharata. That's why this Krishna consciousness movement has come now. So in order to start this Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna had to put the entire Vedic culture in the body of one person, Prabhupada. Prabhupada exported the entire Vedic culture in one person. That's why we see in the pastimes, we see Prabhupada, he's not only a perfect Brahmin, he's also a perfect king. He's also a perfect Vaishya. He was very good at business and establishing this society. He was perfect in every respect. Contained within Prabhupada was all of the Vedic culture in one man. And this Krishna consciousness movement actually is the only real hope for saving the earth now. Now they have this nuclear waste, you know, nuclear waste. Now, it is predicted that there's supposed to be a golden age within Kali. Kali Yuga lasts, what, 432,000 years? And just now, beginning, is a golden age, 20,000 years, golden age. Because just like there's a circle of the yugas, there's also seasons within Kali Yuga. So within Kali Yuga, there's also Satya Treta Dwapara Yuga, revolving seasons. So we're supposed to be beginning a golden age, 20,000 years. Now, the demons, they're very worried that the demigods and the devotees will capture the earth. So they've created this nuclear waste to poison the planet so that it can't be used by anybody. This nuclear waste has a half-life of 200,000 years. Do you know that? Nuclear waste. It stays poisonous half 200,000 years. So half by two comes to 400,000 years. So that's Kali Yuga. there's enough poison to completely poison the whole Kali Yuga. This has been stockpiled. Now in the West countries, because they're running out of oil, they're all going to go back to nuclear. They want to make more and more nuclear. Now they're running out of oil. There's not enough oil for China and India and everybody. It's simply come to the end. The price is going up and up and up. It's a big emergency. This whole culture is based on oil. They don't have an alternative to oil. Sometimes they say, oh, you can have an electric car. But you find me an electric truck that can pull a big load up a mountain. Like a truck can pull a huge load up a mountain. You can't do that with wind power or solar power or electric vehicle cannot do that. Electric vehicle like a golf cart maybe. A golf cart can pull somebody playing golf on a flat ground. But it can't pull a huge load of steel up a mountain. This whole society is going on only by oil. Only by pulling this oil out of the earth. But Prabhupada said, you know, this oil is in the earth. The earth's supposed to be spinning like a machine. It needs oil. So there's a reason why the oil is in the earth. So when they're taking all this oil out, it's also disturbing the earth, disturbing the seasons, disturbing the climate, disturbing the weather. And it's going to get worse and worse. So what are they going to do? This entire system is based on it. And there's not enough. So they're going to fight over it, is what they're going to do. And now they're trying to make more and more nuclear. More and more nuclear. They're already fighting over it. This is why all this Iraq problem going on. It's all going on over oil. And now they're going to make more and more nuclear. But nuclear power, they have no solution what to do with the waste. They still have no solution. This waste, right now they have to. There's different levels of nuclear waste, high, medium, low. The high-level nuclear waste, they keep it in tanks and they have to pour millions of gallons of water on the tank to keep it cold. They have to pour millions of gallons every day. Because if it doesn't keep cold, it'll come out and it'll destroy life everywhere. You won't be up. Nobody will be able to live for 20,000 years. It'd be so point this high-level nuclear waste. And that's for whole countries, not just for a small area. You know when this disaster in Chernobyl, that was not the high-level nuclear waste. That was just the medium nuclear waste. Just see how bad of a disaster that was. Some small leak of medium nuclear. But what about the high-level nuclear waste? They don't know what to do with it. They're thinking maybe we'll store it under the ground. Maybe we'll put it in deep, deep under the ground. But they still haven't done it because how can it stay safe for 20, 30,000 years? And now they're going to make more and more of this. So it's expensive, very expensive to maintain all of that. So who's paying for it? Our children, they have to pay. We say, here, take all this waste, look after it. We got some electricity now, you pay. And not just our children, their children and their children and their children have to pay for our electricity now. This is what kind of rascals we are. As I say, we're a gang of criminals. All put under arrest, the entire humanity. Actually, did. Prabhupada's putting everybody under arrest. You're all rascals. We're all rascals. We're all, unless you leave it, unless you opt out and you become part of this movement and you fight. So then sometimes people say, well, why are you doing it? You're also using electric. You're also using car. But when a criminal is going at 70 miles an hour, the policeman, he has to go 80 miles an hour. You don't say to the criminal or to the policeman, oh, you're breaking the rule going 80 miles an hour. So we're also using these things. But we have to remember that we're only using it to try to stop it. We're not really wanting it to continue. We have to go back to a simple way of life in balance with nature. If you are very, very attracted to all this kind of modern conveniences, that's not a good symptom. You should be more attractive to living simply. If you're attached to all of these modern conveniences, of course you can't live in a city without it. The cities have become so hellish that you can't live naturally and simply. But we should all prefer to go back to the simple way of life, Vrindavan way of life. This is much more pleasing if you can find a place an experience. And I've experienced that a few times in my life where I've lived completely in nature. One time, I had no money at all when I first went to Hawaii. I arrived there with no money. I arrived there, I think, with $2. But I had heard about some valley where the Hawaiian people used to live. And I went down in that valley, and it used to have 20,000 people living in this valley. But they had all gone away because there was no electricity, there was no roads, there's no telephone. It's down in a deep valley. And so nowadays, only about 10 people live there. It used to be 20,000 Hawaiian people live there because you could grow rice there. And you could. So I went and lived in that valley. And everywhere there was bananas, there was coconuts, there was avocados, there was wild, growing wild, fruit trees. So I lived there without money for 1 year. Just bathing in the river and living in a hut by the river and just picking fruit. And I say that was the happiest year of my life. That was the best year of my life. Because I was depending on Krishna. You know, sometimes you can go to a big restaurant and you can order a very delicious food. But it's never as delicious as that food that comes to you when you're hungry by chance. If you're hungry and some food suddenly comes by the mercy of God, that is delicious food. Much more delicious than going to a restaurant and expensive food. So when you live simply and you depend on the Lord, every day becomes a miracle. When you depend on Krishna, He provides. If you don't depend on Him, then He doesn't bother with you. He puts you under the control of the modes of material nature. But if you completely depend on Him, He will provide everything for you. And this you see when you live like that. You see the hand of God in everything. Come filled with so much appreciation. So this is why simple village country people, they are naturally devotees of God. Because they see everything is coming from God. When you live in the city life, you think it's coming from the government, it's coming from the business, it's coming from money. You forget it's coming from God. We're making such an arrangement so that we can get God out of our life. Instead of living with God in appreciation, Krishna has made such a beautiful, beautiful planet, and we've done a very good job of ruining it completely. Because why? Because we don't have proper Vedic kings. That's why whenever Krishna comes, He tries to put somebody proper in charge. Krishna wanted Yudhisthira to be in charge. Because he's a devotee. Nowadays, we don't have proper government. We don't have people who understand things of life. They're all enamored with all these opulences, these materials. But they can't enjoy. You know, these big industrialists, they don't live here with us, suffering in the city. They live on a yacht in the Mediterranean and going to small islands. And they live in beautiful places. We have to suffer the results of all of this. So this is demon controlled. That's why the emergency bell is ringing. So it's not a normal, we're not living time. Don't expect everything to just go along as normal. Everything's getting disturbed. There'll be war, there'll be disturbance, there'll be fighting over oil, there'll be economic collapse, there'll be famine. Prabhupada said all these things will happen. And probably in our lifetime. Probably even within the next 10 years. So now our Krishna consciousness will be tested. Be to try to make alternative community where you can live simply, grow your own food. This is what we should be doing. As much as possible. To show what is the Vrindavan life. This movement is all about Vrindavan life. So this is some of the things that I picked up in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada, this Vrindavan mood. It's very wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So I will leave some time if anybody has any question. Or comment, yeah. Can't hear you. You'll have to come and say it through this.
Hare Krishna, our mission is preaching mission. Like when we go out for preaching, we have to go by their ways. I mean, so when we teach to scientists, so we have to preach them scientifically. So how is it possible to know you are to live artistically and beautifully?
If you do it with love, and you do it as well as you can. That's what I mean by artistically. It doesn't matter what it is. If you do it with a sense of devotion, a sense of appreciation, a sense of love, you try to do it as well as you can, whatever it may be. If your service is to preach to scientists and so on, you do that as well as you can. That's the way that BI is. That's what BI is all about. BI is all about preaching very nicely and artistically to the scientists. This is what they're doing. Gauranga Prabhu yesterday was giving very nice scientific defeat of atheism. So this is very artistic. This is what I mean by art. But actually, we shouldn't forget what is our real way of life that we advocate. We have a way of life that we advocate for everyone. In other words, this is what we recommend as how human beings should live. And that is Vrindavan life. That is, Prabhupada said, the real wealth is land and cows. This is actual wealth. Wealth is if you have land, you have fruit trees, you can grow your food, and you have cows. And you'll see how, when these world economies go down, that the only real wealth at that time is going to be land and cows, if you can produce food. Don't trust these demon economies. One day you're going to pick up the paper, stock exchange crash. It's going to happen. It's going to crash more than it's ever crashed. And if you're depending on all of that, if you're hanging on all of that, you're going to go down for sure. It cannot maintain. It's in balance. It's not unsustainable. It's an unsustainable civilization. The earth cannot sustain it. It's a burden on the earth. That's why the Bhagavad Gita says that the activities of demons, they destroy it. They're meant to destroy the earth. So this modern civilization cannot be maintained. It has to go back to nature. We have to go back to nature. Krishna consciousness movement is a back to nature. It arose at the same time. All the ecological movements, they also came about along with this movement. All of the ecology, vegetarianism, simple living, organic, not spraying chemicals on the land, all of these things are a part of this movement. And this is what we actually advocate as a correct way of life. We don't recommend this modern industrial way of life. Although sometimes we live in it, but we only live in it under emergency circumstances for preaching.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble wishes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Prabhuji, you said that we should develop love towards Krishna. But
till now, actually, we are just accustomed to play with numbers, to manipulate with equations, and we were not accustomed to have emotions and deep feelings towards anybody. To our parents also, we were having some motives, and that's how, in coming to Krishna consciousness, I realized that
we were having some motives. That's why we were...
Right now, we are not knowing what is real love. So how can you expect us that to develop love? And actually, after coming to Krishna consciousness, after hearing so much philosophy about love, we should try to love. And I have sometimes tried to develop appreciation towards Krishna, but actually it's not that. The love is something which comes up from inside, automatically. If we try to develop artificially love, that's not possible.
No. Actually, this what is the meaning of sadhana? It's a process which actually develops your love. It is a scientific process to develop love for Krishna. That's the meaning of all this sadhana. That's why we get up early in the morning. That's why we're chanting japa. That's why we're following regular principles. That's why we're regularly hearing and chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, watering the creeper of devotion. We don't instantly develop this love. It takes a long time. It takes regular practice of sadhana bhakti to develop this love. But it is a science. It's developed by real scientists like the six Goswamis. How to develop this love, it comes about. If you follow the process, the love will come. Why? Because the love is actually natural condition of the soul. It is just covered. It actually is already there within all of us, but it's covered by dirt. It's not some unnatural condition for us. It's a natural state. But it's covered over by material coverings, which manifest in the form of lust, greed, anger, the material coverings of the soul, and we become motivated and we can no longer experience pure love. So we have to clean that away. So that's what is the process for awakening that love. Yes, you're right. This modern life, everything is motivated and everything is mechanical and scientific and with devoid of emotion. It's becoming more and more like that, the world. We have to resist. We are the resistance. We have to resist the current trends. We have to go the other way. We're not going the same way as the general population. We're going the opposite direction. They're going down to hell, and we're going up. When you go up the mountain, up the river, it's much harder than going down. So this process of sadhana is a little bit hard. It's a discipline, austerity, tapasya. But it's only by this experience, divine love, that therefore Rishabhadev, he instructed his son, Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudyadyasmad brahma sokam tvanam tam. Said that this, by this tapasya, by this sadhana, by these austerities, gradually you'll experience this love, which begins with Brahma Sokyam. Brahma Sokyam means the natural, spontaneous happiness of the soul. And beyond that, it comes into the prem, love, transcendental love. So it is a great science, the science of love. We have many, many books all about different types of love that it's possible to attain between the living being and Krishna. This is a great science. Nowadays, they have one word, love. But in Sanskrit, there are so many words to describe love. There's karma. That's not the same as prem. And then in prem, there's so many types of bhava, and ruchi, and mahabhava, and anubhava, and different types of love. There's a huge science of love. So you have to study that science and practice the disciplines that are required. Just like to attain any great thing, to become a great boxer, to become a great sports person, to become a great musician, to become perfect at anything, you have to practice a discipline. So same thing, to attain this state of love, First of all, we have to control our senses. We have to get off the platform of sense gratification. So this in itself is very difficult to do. It's almost impossible to do. And therefore, they say that in Kali Yuga, you can't do it because there's too much disturbance. You could only do it by this process of Bhakti Yoga. This process of Bhakti Yoga is the only way that you can perfectly control the senses. That's why we find that even great rishis, they fall down sometimes. Like Vishvamitra Muni and all these great rishis. They fell down from their discipline. But the great devotees, they don't fall down. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to the Western countries. And along with Prabhupada, so many other gurus, they went to the West. But when the other gurus, they went to the West, they start like Vivekananda, Yogananda, they all started drinking and doing all these things, but not Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't become a Western. Prabhupada remained pure because he's a devotee. So only by this process can one actually be successful. especially in Kali Yuga. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nyasteva, Steva, Gati, Ranyata. In Kali Yuga, you attain the supremation by this Hare Krishna chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha ki. Shri Shri Gaunitai ki. Shri Nath ji ki. Go Premanande. Haribo. Thank you.